I'm excited. I can't wait to pour out. If you looked at the message outline, I got 5 points today. I was going to give you 10. I got a lot in me. I got to get it out. You know what I mean? But I'm really fired up to continue our series, This Summer of Freedom. So as you remain standing, would you grab your message outline and your Bibles? And we're going to go to Galatians chapter 2, and we're going to look specifically at verse number 20. Galatians chapter 2, verse number 20. And what we're going to discover today is we're going to look at a life statement of Paul the Apostle of how he lived his life. And not just what he did, but why he did what he did. And I really believe that this verse here can become a real life statement for many of us, because it's one of those verses that really guides you and really gives you a method of living and why we should live for God. But Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, if you're there, say, "I'm there." If you need some time, say, "Give me a moment," or look in the screens. I'm going to put on screens for you. And Galatians chapter 2, as we talk about living in Christ's freedom, because it's possible to be forgiven but not live in his freedom. And God wants us to live not just forgiven but also free. Someone say forgiven and free. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, the Bible reads like this. Paul the Apostle says, "I have been crucified with Christ." Now watch this next sentence, it's powerful. He says, "I no longer live, but Christ lives in me." Do me a favor, tell the person you came with, say, "It's not me, it's Christ in me." All right, now look back and say, "Yeah, but I see a lot of you." Just joking, okay, come on. I see a lot of you often. He says, "No longer I, but Christ in me." He says, "The life I now live in the body," in other words, not the life I'm going to live when I get to heaven, not the life I wish I could live. He says, "The life I live now, the life I live at home." In other words, the life I live when I'm driving on the freeway, the life I live at work when people are getting on my nerves. Talk to me, somebody. He says, "The life I live in my body," how does he lives it by what? I live by what? Faith. You don't live it by feelings, not in the flesh, but faith in the Son of God, watch this, who loved me and gave himself for me. Such a powerful statement, because what Paul is declaring is why he lives for God. He says, "I live for him because he loved me. And now I'm crucified with Christ. It's not me who lives, but Christ who lives in me." Now that word crucified does carry with it a mentality of sacrifice. And I want to talk today from the topic of inconvenient faith. Inconvenient. And I got a tough assignment today, because I want to talk to you about getting comfortable with being inconvenienced by God. And I want to do today's message how I believe the greatest things in our life will come through not by seeking a life of convenience, but willing to be inconvenient. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning. And I already know, Lord, that when we open your scripture, you're going to speak to us. Because anytime we come to your word, the word of God is the theopus nuestros of God. It's the breath of God. By your word, Lord, you created the light. You said, "Let there be light," and there was. With your word, Father, you framed the world. You framed all that we see. And now as we listen to your word, you are going to frame and create our world, Lord. Our mental world, our emotional world, our relational world. And so, Father, we humble ourselves to your word. Speak to us, challenge us, change us by your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Someone say, amen. Give God a clap. You may be seated. And just tell the person you came with, tell them, say, "It's Christ in me." Just say, "It's Christ in me." Say, "It's Christ in me." And you're going to be like, "Yeah, we need to see more of Christ. That's what we need to see. Come on." I'll start right here. Have you realized inconvenience? Have you realized that? I don't know why this is, but the greatest things in our lives rarely come through convenience. Like, all of the greatest stuff, it's always an inconvenience. Like losing weight. Like why can't losing weight be convenient? You know, like you know, it's always like, why don't vegetables taste like donuts? Like, why can't we just make healthy food taste like, you know, carne asada fries? Come on, can I get a church amen? Like, I don't get it. Like, you know, it's just so inconvenient to eat healthy and lose that. Like, it's just not like it's just inconvenient. I don't know why that is. The greatest things that are for my life and benefit me are rarely convenient. They're mostly inconvenient. I mean, you know, getting abs. I wish it's just so easy to get one big round ab. It's just so hard to get the other ones. You know, it's like, I don't know why. The good things come through inconvenience. For example, getting married is easy. Staying married. Where are the married people at? Come on, smile at me. Like, staying married. Kids can sometimes be an inconvenience. Come on. I figured out that I guess I'm a bus driver now. I'm a shuttle. That's what I am. I'm a shuttle. I grew up to be a shuttle. Drive them here, drive them there. Drive, you know what I mean? Where are we going next? I don't know. You know, like, I don't know why. Building wealth. It's not convenient. You got to watch your spending. You know, them Starbucks add up. Come on now. You know, it's like one little thing. You look at your, what did you see what we ate last month? What in the world? You know, it's like, it's rarely. The point is that what I'm trying to say is that the greatest things in life are rarely convenient. So if you're going to do something great, you got to get comfortable with inconvenience. And I want to talk about that today because when we approach our faith and we approach our relationship with God, I think we can miss God's intent is if we think we're going to do great things for God being inconvenienced. Wow. Or we're going to see God do something amazing in our life, but it's never going to inconvenience us. But yet in everything else, we know it's true. And this is what I love about the verses we just read, because Paul the Apostle starts and he makes this declaration that he says, the way I live my life is I am crucified with Christ. In other words, I know it may not be convenient to sacrifice your life or to live a life that says no longer me, but him. He says, but that's the way you're going to see God do something great. So I got 5 points. Let me get down to business. Right? Point number one, write this down. Here's what I want you to have a mentality. We're talking about summer of freedom. We're talking about living in the freedom that God has for us. We're talking about seeing and experiencing what God called us to be. And here it is. Number one, write this down. Never choose the convenient over your calling. Never. If you're going to see God do something great in your life, you got to embrace that I'm not going to choose convenience over calling. Don't live to your deep convictions, not your deep convenience. If you're going to see God do something great, you got to live to your deep convictions, not your deep conveniences. If you're going to see God do something great. And what Paul the Apostle, when he makes this statement, which really when you think about it, you're like, man, what a statement to make, Paul. He's talking about, he's like, my life, the way I live it is I'm crucified with Christ. In other words, I recognize that every day there's going to be a dying to myself. Every day there's going to be something that's going to be killing me softly with your words. You know what I'm saying? Like, every day there's going to be something that's going to cause me to have to die to myself. But Paul makes this statement, and it's so powerful. He says the reason he does it, he says, because no longer I live. Like, what you see, you don't see Josiah. You don't see Paul. He says, it's Christ in me. Now, that's tough. Everybody going to look at me like it's easy. Come on, somebody. How many know that's tough? Because, you know, don't pray for Pastor Josiah. Pray for Josiah. Because that old guy tries to come out. Can I get a good amen? You know what I'm talking about? Like, who knows what I'm talking about? You know, that guy that we, that woman you put the, that you said you got back, that woman you put in the baptism pool, that old person, that ghetto you, that tore up you, that angry you, you gotta pray. Come on, somebody. You gotta pray she don't come back. You know what I'm saying? Some of you are like, Pastor, I hear the husband say, I pray that every day, Pastor. Come on. You know, you got to pray he don't come back. Paul says, this life I live, man, I'm telling you, it's a rough. But it's not me who lives. It's Christ who lives in me. He's because I have to live. This is Paul. And I gotta follow Christ. Now, Jesus said it. If you remember when he told the disciples in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, let's go there together. Then Jesus said to his disciples, he said, whoever wants to be my disciple, in other words, a follower of Christ, a disciplined follower of Christ, if you want to be his disciple, God didn't just call us to be church attenders. He called us to be followers of Christ. We're not saved to sit. He saved us to send us into this world. He says, whoever wants to be my disciple, which is all of us, we're all called to be disciples. He lays out and he says he must deny themselves, take up their cross, and what? Follow me. That word, take up the cross, is a life of sacrifice. But in today's message or today's teaching, I want to just kind of translate that to inconvenienced. That sacrifice looks like inconvenience. Because some say, like, sacrifice. Yes, Lord, I lay my life as a sacrifice. Great. But are you willing to be inconvenienced for him? That's what it looks like. That's what it looks like. It looks like inconvenience. What an inconvenience to be a Christian. Like, why can't this be more convenient, Lord? We're going to have fun today. Come on, somebody. We're going to have fun today. Tell your neighbor, it's going to be good. It's going to be good. Say, tell your neighbor, are you willing to be inconvenienced? Just say, are you willing to be inconvenienced? Because what Jesus is talking about, carrying the cross, is not just a necklace. Oh, good preaching, Pastor. Amen. Carrying the cross, not just a tattoo. I got a cross. I carry it. Yeah, but you don't act like, oh my God, help me, Jesus. Help me, Lord. It's not a tattoo. It's not a shirt. It's not something on your wall. It's not just a cute. Carrying the cross says, I realize I have accepted that I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Talk to me, somebody. Say amen. In other words, I live a life, watch this now, yes, of sacrifice, but willing to be inconvenienced. That doesn't always make me feel comfortable. Because how many know it's much easier? Like, let's just be honest. It's easier just to sometimes say what you want to say. Have you ever, like, wanted to say something? And God says, don't say it. Four people. Okay, you guys are all holy. Wow, God bless all y'all. You can preach next week, okay? Tell us how you do it, because I don't know how to. You ever, like, you want to say something and the Holy Spirit tells you, don't say it. Yes, I'm going to raise my hand, okay? Okay, let me do it in 2022 times. You ever want to text something? And the Holy Spirit says, don't text it. Like, I'm going to tell them right now. You always watch this. Come on. And you're like, I'm going to do it anyway. And it feels more convenient to just be the old you. But then God's like, don't do it. And you're like, what do I want to say? I want to say it. I'm going to tell you. You know, it's the principle that I'm going to tell them right now, because if they don't understand, I got to say. And if I don't tell them, then I know. And you say it, or you send it. And you're like, why did I send it? Why did I say that? And you're inconvenienced anyway. So can we just accept that you have to choose your inconvenience? That you're like, oh my God, what did I say? And you're like, so really, it's not a question if you're going to go through inconvenience, just which one you're going to choose. One of them has God's blessing on it. The other one has more drama on it. Well, I want the blessing of God. Come on, somebody say amen. And so Jesus tells us to this. Now, Jesus told us to be his followers, but he also lived a life of inconvenience. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 through 8, Jesus came inconveniently. It was not convenient for the Son of God to become man. And in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 through 8, watch what the Word of God says. It says, you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Watch this. Instead, someone say instead. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. And he took on the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death. The scripture says that when Jesus came, he emptied himself of his divine privilege. That he was like, I am going to remove the privileges of the Son of God in heaven, and I'm going to come in an inconvenient way and humble myself. And Jesus became obedient. Write this down somewhere. This is not your second point, but just write this down. You have to learn to choose purpose over your preference. Right? Because our preference, or sometimes our privilege, or God's like, no, you have to humble yourself if you're gonna see the kingdom of God truly come in our lives, which is what we all want. Because I feel like maybe you're not convinced, because how many know that we've tried it our way, and our way is broken. Oh, come on, I could pass the microphone around and you can tell a better story than I can. You tried it your way. You did it your way, right? It was Burger King, have it your way. But it didn't honor God. And what happened? Drama and come on, broke down our lives. And young people, talk to someone with some age, okay? Talk to some grown folks. And I'm going to tell you right now, they will tell you, hey, listen, I tried it my way. I did it this way. And I'm going to tell you, all that happened was I was more broken, more hurt. But now that I did it God's way, come on. Yeah, there was some sacrifice. Yeah, there was some things. But when I humble myself, now I see God's hand in there. Was it easy? No. Absolutely not. You got to carry your cross. Yeah, it was inconvenient. But that way, because nothing great comes through convenience. Nothing great happens that way. Write this down, point number two. Let's move on here. Faith, if we're going to talk about inconvenient faith, we're going to talk about living a life that is a sacrifice crucified with Christ. We got to recognize that faith is rarely convenient. My daughter Faith saw, or living by faith is rarely convenient. My daughter Faith saw my note. She's like, what do you mean I'm not convenient? I said, honey, it's a sermon. Faith is, living by faith is rarely convenient. You know, some people are surprised when their Christianity is inconvenient. They're like, oh my gosh, what? You mean to tell me that I have to sacrifice? Like, we're so surprised, like, oh. How come this Christianity stuff isn't convenient? Why does church always have to be after Saturday night? Like, what's up with that? You know? Why is serving God, and we get surprised when when the truth is, you should be surprised when it's convenient. It should be shocking. If God ever asks you to do something that's like so convenient, you ought to be like, oh my goodness, this is amazing. Because living by faith is 99.9% of the time God has asked me to do something, it has never been convenient. Like, oh, you know what? What a fantastic time to go forgive. I was waiting to forgive. This is so easy. All right. Has it ever been convenient to forgive? No. So why are we surprised? Like, God, I can't believe I have to forgive, and it's so sacrificial. I don't want to do it. And you're surprised, like, I thought I was going to forgive people and it was going to be easy. No longer I live. Come on, say it with me. No longer I live. That's not everybody, because everybody's going to say it. No longer I live. But Christ lives in me. It's rarely convenient. Like, when you have to forgive someone, oh, it's going to be so inconvenient. I mean, like, it's going to be like Sundays. Tonight, Sunday, like 8:57 p.m., you're going to have to forgive someone. I'm not prophesying. You're like, oh, my God. Okay. So. And you're going to be like, and I'm telling you, you're going to feel as if this is the most inconvenient thing you've ever had to do. It never comes at the right time. You're like, you're encouraging me, Pastor. Thank you. I feel so, I'm just trying to prepare you. It never comes at the right time. You never feel ready for it. But it's how God grows you. Offended, resentment. These things the enemy uses. And we have to say, God, I'm crucified with Christ. Every time we do that, so we need to recognize that everything God calls us to do is rarely convenient. Serving is not convenient. You know, you see some people wearing the red shirts, or not everybody wears, you know, red shirts when they're serving, or they're doing the usher shirts. You see them, you know, our parking lot team or our kids workers. You know, taking care of your kids ain't convenient. Listen, you know your kids. Okay, let's all clap for the children workers right now. Come on, somebody. That's right. You better clap. You better say thank you to them kids workers. Some of you just come to get the kids for an hour. I'm gonna stay for the next service, Pastor. Just leave the kids. Go, oh, yeah. Just joking. You know that. You think they serve because it's so convenient? It is so inconvenient. But no longer I live, but Christ lives in me. Hosting a small group, it's not convenient, a connect group. Giving God, honoring God with your tithe is not convenient. I'll say amen for you. Amen. You know? Yeah, it's a sacrifice. Oh, you know what? Man, you see them gas? Well, gas prices came down a little, but they're still high. You know, it's like, you're happy they came down 50 cents. Yeah, but they were like crazy expensive. You know what I'm saying? Like, inflation, and you're honoring God. I know it's not convenient, but who told you honoring God was going to be so convenient? We can't run from the sacrifice of it honors God. Turning the other cheek is not convenient. Come on now. These are things that God, let me give you the scripture, Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Here's how Paul again says to the church in Rome. He says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, who's he talking to? Say all of us. He says, I plead with you, give your bodies to God because all that he has done for you, let them be living and a holy sacrifice. Someone say living sacrifice. He says, the kind he will find acceptable, for this is truly the way to worship him. The way to truly worship him is to be a living inconvenience. A living sacrifice. Like, I know we have worship service. You see the singers singing and they're awesome, and the musicians musicianing and the ushers ushing. You know, we see, and the prayer partners pray. We see the worship team and we go, oh, that's worship, and we're singing. Yes, that's a form of worship, but that's not the only worship. In fact, the scripture declares that true worship, like for real worship, God says, when you're a living sacrifice. It's not, people, I'll die for Jesus. We don't need you to die for Jesus. We need you to live for him. Okay? He says, when you live for him, God's like, that melody that you make, God says, that is the true worship that God desires. Because anybody can sing, but it takes a whole nother level to serve him when it's inconvenient. Someone just put a good amen on that. Come on, somebody. He says, a living sacrifice. Point number three, write this down. We're moving on quick here. Moving quick, is this. Here's just the fact. Here's the truth. What you love will always inconvenience you. What you love will always inconvenience you. That's just a fact of life. And I'm gonna flip it to how we love God. But what you love will inconvenience. Where are all my married people at? That's right, yeah, married people. It's okay. I heard no guys scream. It's all right, no problem. It's okay. They were screaming inside, ladies. They were just so excited. So you can't get mad in church, okay? You can't get mad at church. This is the house of God right here. You know what I'm saying? Has your spouse, just be honest, have they ever inconvenienced you? On the daily. Has your spouse ever inconvenienced you? Yes or no? Yes or no? Yes, okay. Honey, I have no idea what they're talking about. I'm just joking. Yes, on the daily. Every day. Twice a day. Sometimes three. Yes, real talk. Pastor Marie? Yes, Pastor Marie. She ain't no Pastor Marie at home. She's just Marie. Right? Real talk. And Josiah too. I inconvenience her. I know I do. You know? Yes, but I love her. She convenes me. Okay, where are my parents at? Kid, parents. Do them kids inconvenience you? I got a big shout down for that one. Go to the altar. I'll be doing a parenting series here in a couple weeks. It's going to be a lot of fun, guys. It's going to be a lot of fun. I've been writing. Them kids inconvenience you, right? But you love them, don't you? And don't you almost expect it? Like, yeah, I already know. That's just the journey here. you know, and some even beyond when they're still inconvenience you, you're like, you know what, you're too old to be inconveniencing me. You know what I'm saying? Like, they ain't yours. Okay. Any pet owners in the house? Okay. I know them. I know we love them pets. You guys love them pets. Like, I mean, your pets are like, you treat them like humans, you know, and that's cool. I'm not mad at you. I like pets. You know what I mean? Like, I got four kids. Listen, I did not want a dog, but I opened my big old mouth and I got myself in trouble. Because you gotta watch what you say, guys, you know? Because I was like, my kids wanted a dog. I'm like, I don't need no dog. He's in diapers. I got this one running around. I was like, I ain't got no time for no dog. Okay, maybe later on while the kids are gone, we'll get a dog. And I'm like, oh, no. And I said, so here's what I go, the only dog I would ever get, it's not gonna be a puppy. It's gonna be trained. They would have to like give it to us because it's older. And it was a golden retriever that has like, it's like practically like a guide dog. I open my big mouth. My kids start praying, oh, Father in heaven. I go, oh, my Lord. Someone says, I got this dog. It's trained. It's older. I'm like, ah! Watch what you say. So I said, the only building I would ever get with Freedom House would have to be with Freedom House Christian Academy, would have to have a Bible college, would have to have bargain. So I got to start working this thing. Come on, talk to me, somebody. Talk to me, somebody. Say amen. Watch what you say. Because it will come true. So anyway, I got a dog. And I mean, they loved it. I better stop. Behave, Josiah. I got this thing I do at dinner where I've been trying to say, what would you exchange for the dog? I've convinced about half the family. That's messed up. I wouldn't do it. Anyway, so back to it. I know. Don't email me, okay? Email Pastor Louie at the Freedom House Dog. Pastor Brian, you can email him. I love animals, I really do. But you know, I got four kids, man, for like 40. So anyway, I got a dog. But you know, people love dogs, and you love them. But they can be an inconvenience. I mean, you have to pick up their, and you pick it up, I love you, baby. You go for a walk, your little bag. It's okay, yeah, it's not. But dog won't do nothing for you. But you will go to the extremes for that dog to be an inconvenience. Can God inconvenience you? God, you expect me to do what? Oh my. But yet you're inconvenienced for the dog. You're inconvenienced for this. You're inconvenienced for that. But God can't inconvenience you. I thought you said you love God. I thought you said you want to honor him. I thought you said no longer you live, but Christ lives in you. I thought you said I'm a living sacrifice. I'm trying to tell somebody, if you would say, God, you can inconvenience me. God, you can use my life. God will put a blessing on your life. Someone shout amen. So, we have to be willing. Someone say willing. And so here's how the Bible says it. Colossians 3, let me just read this one here for really quick just to make this point, then I'll jump. But Colossians 3:13 says, make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. That's just, you know, you got to be willing. What you love will inconvenience you. And some people make allowances are very expensive, okay? They need a lot of allowance. And so John 14:15, okay, watch what the Bible says here. Let's all read this together so you know it's in the Bible. 1, 2, and 3. If you love me, this is what Jesus said. Jesus said, if you love me, let me give you the JIV, Josiah International Version. It's not really a translation, it's just, you know, having fun here. If you love me, do what I tell you. That's what Jesus is saying. Like, if you say you love me, then do what I'm asking you to do. Because it's easy to say, I love you, God. God's like, that's great. But how come you don't do what I'm asking you to do? You say you love me, but you don't live for me. I love you. You know I love you. Come on. Lord, challenge us. Lord, change us. Now, this has nothing to do with God loving you. I'm talking about your love for God, okay? So don't misinterpret what I'm teaching here. God loves you. He loves you. But how we show, Jesus said, if you love me, he's like, then follow my command. Show the world that you're committed to me. Show the world that his ways are the best ways. Show the world that his word is the word. Don't smoke. Don't listen to the nonsense of the world. Don't smoke what the world's trying to get you to believe. No, the word of God is the word of God, and I serve God, and what he said is true. Come on, somebody. Talk to me. Say amen. Heaven and earth will pass away. Science books will change, but the word of God remains the same forever and ever. Someone say amen. To God be the glory in the church in all generations. Jesus told us. Now, Matthew chapter 19, verse 22, because inconvenience does cost. And Peter asked this question. I got to wrap it up here. He asked this question. Watch what Peter says. This is good. We're coming to a close here. Then Peter said to Jesus, because they were kind of like making a lot of sacrifices. It's a big inconvenience. Follow me. They gave everything to follow, dropped their nets. And this is what Peter says. He says, we've given up everything to follow you. What will we get? So watch this. Look at this. Peter has this moment where he's just like, man, we've sacrificed a lot, Jesus. Like, man, my life, I dropped and I followed you. And he's like, what are we going to get? And it almost, you know, like his heart was in this. And so Jesus didn't rebuke him. Jesus actually revealed to him something. And this is what Jesus said. Watch this. Jesus replied. Who replied?
Jesus.
He says, I assure you that when the world is made new and the Son of Man sits upon his glorious throne, you who have been my followers also sit on the 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. So he's talking to the 12 disciples. But watch verse 29. And everyone. Who's everyone? So now he's talking to us. He says, and everyone, not just in those days, but in 2022 at Freedom House Church, and everyone who has given up houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or property for my sake will receive 100 times as much in return and will inherit eternal life. Don't you think for one moment that God does not see how you sacrifice for him, what you gave up for him, what you let go for him, what you stopped doing for him, who you forgave for him, how you worship for him, how you honored him, how you could have done that last night, but you said no for him. God says, I'm gonna bless you 100 times. Oh, come on, somebody. God says, I'm keeping account. I see it all. He says, so Peter, don't you think you're losing out on this deal? I'm gonna bless your life. It's like everything we did yesterday for the back to school giveaway. I mean, guys, we gotta celebrate that. Hundreds of families. You know, tough times are tough right now, right? Some people, like I said, inflation gets expensive, all that stuff. And we bless at our Irvine campus and Fullerton, our Espanol community. Hundreds of families. Like a backpack and school supplies and markers and colored pencils and erasers. And then we gave them shoes that we had all supplies last. We're going to do that again next year. Shoes, just in these kids' faces with like oh my, then we're going to get brand new shoes for school. And then they got groceries. And then guess what? There was a Bible in that backpack. And then every family got prayed for and hundreds received Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Come on. God says, you're being my church. Like, thank you for being inconvenienced. Thank you for being inconvenienced. God says, his hand is on that. To me, that's church right there. I like this church. I think I'm going to start coming here. Amen. Amen. Someone say, I'll be inconvenienced for you, Lord. Number four, write this down, then I'm going to wrap it up here. If you won't do it through inconvenience, then you really don't want to do it. That's just the truth. I think God, back to the word sacrifice, but what it looks like is inconvenience. I think God lets part of a passive part of our faith walk to be inconvenient because it shows if we really want him. Does that make sense? Like, I always like to do analogies because to me that's how it correlates, but imagine if you had a friend who was only your friend when it was convenient. Is that really a friend? Like, imagine if you had someone that loved you only when it was convenient to love you. Is that really love? Like, so when we say, God, I'm gonna serve you, but only when it's convenient. Is that really a serving? That's why Jesus says, pick up your cross and follow me. I'm crucified with Christ. No longer I live, but God, you live. So my whole intent in this message is to prepare you for the inconvenient moments you are going to have serving God. I don't try to fake it, to make it. It's going to be a sacrificial life. And I think you've heard the gospel wrong if you think you're never going to have to deny yourself. That's just not biblical. And I'm a child of the Most High God. I gave my heart for the house. Why do I go into something difficult? God says, I see your sacrifice, and his hand will come over your life. The greatest things in life always come to those who are willing to be inconvenienced. The sacrifice. Here's some scriptures for you. 2 Chronicles chapter 15 and verse 7 says this, but as for you, be strong and do not give up, for your work will be rewarded. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9 says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give. Tell the person you came with, say, don't give up. No, really look them in the eyes and say, don't give up. Say, you've come too far. Tell them, say, you've come too far to give up now. Like really, really encourage people. We can't give up. Last and not least, number 5, I'm committed to the inconvenient call of God on my life. Luke chapter 9 and verse 59, there's this verse here, and then I'm finished, where Jesus was telling the disciples, if you recall this account, where he says, he's calling disciples, and three of them said, I'll follow you, but then they gave kind of an excuse, and he says, he said to another person, he said, come follow me, and the man agreed, say the man agreed. So he's like, yeah, I'll follow you. But he said, Lord, first let me return home and bury my father. Jesus goes on to say, if you put your hand on the plow and look back, you're not fit for the kingdom. Now, when you read this, you might almost think like, man, that was kind of mean. Jesus, he just wanted to go bury his father. Like why is he not fit for the kingdom? Well, to find the meaning, sometimes you got to go deeper into the context, okay? This is why we have a Bible college here at Freedom House, because we want to show you how to study the Bible. Shameless plug, if you want to learn the Bible more, get into Bible college. Be inconvenienced. Okay. It's an inconvenience, but that's why you have Bible college. You look deeper into the context, and the cultural context was this. The reason he wanted to go bury his father was because his father was not dead yet. He was soon to die. And he wanted to go home because in the cultural context, if you were there for the father's blessing, then you got the inheritance. So what he was really saying was, well, I want to get the house. So let me go home and make sure I get the house. Because, you know, if my dad dies, I want to get the house. You know what I mean? So I'm going to the house, and then I'll follow you. And this is a picture of a lot of people who say, I'll follow you, God, but first let me finish school, then I'll serve you. You know, I'll do it, God, but first let me pay off a few bills, then I'll get serious with you. I'll serve you, Jesus, but first let me get married, you know, because, you know, first let me go on the bachelor party, because, you know, I want a little fun, you know what I'm saying? Like, first let me, and that's a picture of so many people that are like, God, I'm not saying no, I'm just saying not yet, but that's still delayed obedience is still disobedience. And God's calling you home right now. Now. Someone say, now. Because y'all heard this before. You ever heard today is a day of salvation? Okay, that's actually not in the Bible. It doesn't say today is the day of salvation. It actually, in 2 Chronicles 6:2, it says, now is the time of salvation. God doesn't say sometime today, surrender to him. God says right now. Why? Because when someone's drowning, you don't say, hey, we'll save you today. No, they don't need you to come back at 5 o'clock at night. They need to be saved right now. And what I'm telling is some of you, you're drowning right now. And God is saying, now is the day. Now is the time of God's favor. Now is the time of salvation. Stop putting it off and surrender to him right now. Again, I don't want to be morbid, but who says your promise tomorrow? Who says your promise? Remember this. Opportunities of a lifetime are only good for the lifetime of the opportunity, not your lifetime. I'll say it again. Opportunities of a lifetime are only good for the lifetime of the opportunity, not your lifetime. So we think, I got time, but the opportunity doesn't. So you have to learn to be obedient to God now. Surrender now. You call me now. And now is the time for me to be obedient to God. Come on, somebody. Amen.
Hey, thanks so much for watching our service at Freedom House OC. Don't forget to like and subscribe. It's always my honor, my wife's honor to bring you God's word. And I know that God's best is in your future. Make sure to share, click the bell icon so you're always up to date when new content comes out, because we want to be a blessing to your life. We want this channel to be a channel that feeds your future and leads you closer to God. Hey, we love you. God bless.